Today is the second month of the year 2024. It is also the second day of the lunar year. Yesterday was the new year of the lunar calendar. What do I want to be in the new year, in 2024? This is a time when everyone starts to reinvent themselves. Some people make resolutions, but by the end of the half year, all is forgotten. But in the text that we have read, it's very upbeat. It says, put on, therefore, put on. Yes, in the new year we wear new dresses, we wear new clothes, we clothe ourselves. But then it's often forgotten. But here it's very upbeat. It tells us to put on. What does it put on, therefore? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of heart, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. You see, kindness cannot exist on its own. Kindness must be associated with compassion. If there is no compassion, there cannot be any kindness. The opposite of kindness would be someone who is cold and heartless, someone who is concerned with himself. Think of the miser, the man Scrooge, who for a while was too busy balancing his own checkbook account to notice the needs of others. What's going on with our church today? What's going on with our families? What's going on with our friends? It says, clothe yourself with kindness, and kindness with compassion. Remember the Good Samaritan. There was a Jewish traveler. He was waylaid by robbers and left to die in the gutter. And two priests came by and they walked on the other side because perhaps part of their duty was they mustn't touch anyone who is sick or who is dead. And then there came a Samaritan. And the Samaritan looked at this Jewish man who was injured. There is no love lost between a Samaritan and a Jew. In fact, they were enemies. But the Samaritan, as Jesus told this story of the Good Samaritan, took care of this Jewish traveler and put him on his donkey and brought him to the inn. And he said, if there's anything that you have to look after this man, I will come back and pay you. That is compassion. There's compassion with kindness, as Jesus spoke in the story of the Good Samaritan. You see, kindness is not just saying nice things. Kindness is going beyond the call of duty to help someone in need. The other day there was in a store, a little child pulling all the packages of candy all on the floor, and everything burst open and was on the floor. But the store clerk came down and said, don't worry, go, I will clean this up, I will do your shopping for you. It was clothed with kindness and humility. Remember Moses? Moses recognized his weakness, and he tried to lead 2 million people through the desert. But he had kindness. He had humbleness of mind and meekness. Yes, put on meekness, kindness, humbleness of heart, and meekness. You see, meekness is the opposite of road rage. When I was at one time a magistrate at Kingston upon Thames, there was a lot of road rage and people were difficult in their driving. They were driving without due care and attention. And when the driver of a road rage appeared before the magistrates, they were remorseful and full of regret for their misdemeanor. You see, meekness is the opposite of someone who's standing in a queue and raving at the customer service. I once held a vase that was worth £3,000. I could be more gentle in my life as I carefully placed the vase on the table. That's how God wants us to treat people. Put on meekness, gentleness. Put on long-suffering. The idea of long-suffering is to be able to help one another. I mean, you go into a bank, and the bank clerk tells you that he has no clue of your bank account. When you go and repair your car, and the car mechanic tells you you need a new filter, even though you had just put a new filter in last week. Or when the teacher tells you that the child misbehaves in class and throws paper planes at other children. I mean, who gets up when the baby cries at night? Are you able to be patient and look after the child? Are you long-suffering in these difficult situations? There was a little boy one night. He said, "Dad, I am thirsty." Dad said, "Go to sleep. You do not need a drink." After a while, he said, "Dad, I'm really very thirsty. Can you bring me a glass of water?" And the dad said, "If you don't keep quiet, I'll come and spank you." And the little boy said, "Dad, when you come to spank me, can you bring me a glass of water?" Are you long-suffering in this difficult situation? Yes, this is our New Year resolutions, that you have to be kindness with compassion, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, and forbearing one another. You see, as a Christian, we have to put on. It tells you, put on these qualities. Put on so that you may become, the Spirit of God is within you. In Galatians 5:22, it says, this is the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace towards God. Long-suffering, goodness, and kindness towards your neighbor. Meekness, faith, temperance towards oneself. That is the character of Jesus himself. And that's what we have to put on. Put on these clothes. It's forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man has quarrel against you, forgive them. Bear with one another. If you have a grievance against another, try and reason with him. If someone promises to pick you up at 2 o'clock and they forget you and you are standing in the cold, certainly you have a grievance. If someone promises to help you clean up your kitchen or your house and they fall asleep, you certainly have a grievance. You can have a lot of things being upset. But in 2024, I want to be a forgiver. I want to forgive all that has happened. Yes, put on a new clothes for bearing one another and forgiving one another. There's a story of a girl, and we call her Susie. Susie lives in the countryside. It was a very conservative countryside, very close-knit people. But Susie loves dancing. She loves all the new dancers. She loves to listen to all the nice music, pop music. And she always wore very tight skirts. And her mother used to try and correct her. But Susie went on, and she just did not listen to her parents. And then she had enough. When she was about age 18, she decided to leave home. So she packed her up, much against what her mother had advised her and what her father had advised her. So Susie went into the city. She took a long train because they live in the country. And she reached the city and she met up with friends. And they introduced her to the hospitality business. Now, Susie was a very vibrant girl and she was quite pretty. And so she was in the hospitality business, and she lived in a penthouse. Wow, that was really marvelous. She was living in a penthouse. And she loved all the music and all the new dresses, everything. But she had to work very late until 4 a.m. in the morning. And sometimes at lunchtime, she also had to entertain people. Now, this can go on for some time. After a while, Susie became very tired. But there were young girls coming up. And before she knew it, Susie went from penthouse to an apartment. Downgrade a bit. And there, in the apartment, she was just as busy. And soon, Susie got so tired, she was placed in a flat. Oh, poor Susie. Now, you see, when she was in the penthouse and the apartment, they dressed her up and they did all the makeup for her. But now, in the flat, she had to do it herself. And that was about nearly 2 years. And one day, Susie looked at the mirror and there were lines on her face. And she looked at herself and she suddenly said, "The maid in my house had a better life than what I am experiencing nowadays." So she picked up the phone after 2 years. It was an answer phone. The next Saturday she rang again. It was another answer phone. And the third Saturday she rang and she said, she left a message and she said, "Mom, this is Susie. I am wanting to come home. If there's no one there, I will just move on." So Susie began to have conscience herself. And she said, "Who am I? After 2 years, I never rang home. And now I say I'm coming home." Well, whatever it is, on that fateful Saturday, Susie took a long train, a slow train that stopped at every station. And by the time she arrived at her home station,
It was in the evening. And the train stopped, and the train driver said, "I'm waiting here only for 15 minutes, and I will move on." So Suzuki was the only one who got down from the train. And it was very dark. And she went into the train station, which was quite familiar to her. And the chairs were all stacked up. And Suzuki went into the station. It was very dark. And she said, "I will try and go and see what's on the other side." So Suzuki opened the door. And suddenly she was confronted with a bright light. And there was a banner which says, "Welcome home, Suzuki." And suddenly there was a man who moved forward. It was her father. And Suzuki went up to her father and said, "Oh, Dad, I'm sorry, I'm dead, I'm sorry." And her father said, "Hush, my dear, there's dinner waiting for you." Yes, she was forgiven because she came back and felt sorry for herself. What does it mean to forgive? Yes, her parents forgive her. Forgive even as Christ forgave you. Jesus could have many grievances against us. All the things that Jesus wants us to do, we don't do them. All the things Jesus doesn't want us to do, we do them. But the Lord Jesus Christ forgives us whatever grievances he has against us. That's how Jesus forgives us. In his crucifixion, he carried our sins and wipes all that sin out of our account. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ holds no great grudges at all. He forgives you. He forgives you how many times? 70 times 7. Yes. In his crucifixion, in his sacrifice, he wipes all the sins, all the grievances from us. Forgive, forgive completely. Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. There was once a young man who had an altercation with his father. And this is a true story. And it was so serious that he packed up and left home. And his mother tried to help him, but no, he left home. And he went into the city. After a while, he felt very lonely. And he wondered, what is happening at home? But in the meantime, he was in contact with his mother. And his mother always told him, "Come home. Your father will forgive you. There's nothing, no grudges against you." And so one day he decided to go back home. And he took a train. And before that, he told his mother, "I will come home. And at the tree near the station, if my father has forgiven me, will you please hang a white handkerchief on the branch of the tree near the station?" And so he took the train, and as the train reached near the station where he lived, he was so nervous, he asked another fellow traveler and said, "Will you please look at the tree near the station and see whether there's a white piece of cloth on the tree?" And the traveler, when the train stopped, looked out on the tree. And he came back, he told you, "The whole tree is covered with a white cloth." we are made in the image of God. That image can be marred and soiled, but when we come to Christ, He renews us, He restores us. We are precious in His sight. We are made in the image of God. We are anointed. Living a Christian life is not something which occurs spontaneously or automatically. It just doesn't happen. We have to strive. We have to strive to be compassionate, to be kind, put on charity, the bonds of perfection. And in verse 14 it says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Yes. 1 Peter says, above all, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Yes, the love of Christ binds us together in perfect unity. For Christ dwells within us. There's love in Jesus Christ in our hearts. There were two brothers who lived side by side, and each lived in one house side by side. And for some reason they had a grievance against one another. And the two brothers just didn't want to talk to one another. And the younger brother built a canal between the two houses and filled it with water. Now the eldest brother decided to go on a trip overseas for some business. And he called the old gardener, and he said, the old gardener who was looking after them, he said, here is some wood. Will you please build a fence so that I cannot see the other house? Now, the old gardener used to look after these two boys when they were very young. And so the elder brother left home, and the old gardener set to work. But instead of building a fence, he built a bridge across the canal of water. And so when the old brother came home, he looked and there was no fence, but there was a bridge. And so he decided to walk on the bridge. And as he came to the center of the bridge, the other brother also saw the bridge. And they met each other on the center of the bridge, and they hugged each other. There was reconciliation because they loved one another. Yes, put on kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forgiving one another, and put on love. On these virtues, there is a foundation. There is a foundation. It's like when you put on a new dress, you need a pattern. And let me tell you what that pattern is. Let me read 15:17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. And thirdly, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving patterns to God and the Father by him. This is a pattern of the new dress. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. First, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Secondly, let the word of God dwell in you richly. And thirdly, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's look at each one of them. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It's something positive, something dynamic. There's a dynamic quality in the peace of God. It depends not just a peace treaty, it's Jesus Christ died on the cross in obedience to the God the Father. It's a new covenant between God and ourselves. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19. By our sinful nature, we were God's enemies, but Christ made that peace treaty, and that peace which Christ is our guiding factor, the decisive factor. If we do all in accordance with the peace which Christ brought to the cross for us, we will also have the peace of God ruling in our hearts. Paul says, we are called to live in peace with God our Father. That is the essence of being a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ. Secondly, let the word of God, word of Christ, dwell in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The word of Christ means the Holy Scriptures. All the scriptures are the word of Christ. Christ is described in the beginning of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. For Jesus Christ is the incarnate Word of God. And the Word is contained in the Holy Scriptures. Many Christians today seem to question the Bible. Other people just put the scriptures aside. Some people even speak of interfaith. For the one who believes in Jesus Christ, there is only one guiding principle. It is not in the writing of other faiths. It is God's Word. Yes, God showed himself in time and space. He lived for 33 years when he was on earth. For Jesus Christ to reveal himself to us, for all men, he revealed himself in the Holy Scriptures. I believe is not in a book, but in a person, the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. This book is His Word. Let the Word dwell in you richly. It means that the Word should find itself in our hearts. Perhaps there's only a very small minority who read the Bible daily. There's a man who reads the Bible every year. John Sung, who was the greatest minister in China in the old days, he read 3 chapters of the Bible daily. What a sad commentary that in the 21st century we neglect to read the Bible. So Paul says, let the Word of God, the Word of Jesus Christ, dwell in you richly, so you can teach and admonish each other. Teach with wisdom what the Bible has to say. And thirdly, do all in the word and deed. Do all in the name of Christ. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. The name of Jesus is a powerful name. There is no other name above Him. You see, the name is not just a tag for recognition. The name is the very character of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever we do in accordance with the character, we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the peace of God, the word of Christ, dwell in you richly. This is the foundation stone for which each of us live by Him. You know, there's a very nice phrase in these verses that I read. In 15 and 17, he says, at the end of every verse, he says, in verse 15, first, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which also you are called by one deed. And be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. And verse 16, let the grace in your heart to the Lord. Grace in your heart to the Lord. And thirdly, in verse 17, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. Do it in the name of Jesus Christ. As followers of Jesus Christ, remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for each one of us. He offered Himself upon the cross that we are once again reconciled to God the Father. Thankfulness in our hearts is the core of everything. Of kindness and compassion, of humbleness of mind, of meekness, of long-suffering, and forbearing one another, forgiving one another each, and putting on love. Putting on love as the primary virtue. All these things we strive to do. Let us take time daily to think of what the Lord Jesus has done for each one of us. Let us thank him daily for our salvation. And one thing all, above all, this is what I want to be in 2024. So whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen.